Shanti, everyone. Good morning. I would like to invite our panelists. So first, Sister Hemlata. She's our senior sister who coordinates all the region of the Caribbean. She lives in a very nice place called Trinidad, a very beautiful island. Sit here. Then Sister Dorothy. She's our rounder sister. And she's been with Baba for more than 30 years, and she coordinates whatever it is in Peace Village. I mean, she does so many things there. And I hope some of you know Peace Village is the retreat place we have near New York. And then Sister Mara from Portugal, she's a very old friend. And not old, of course, but I mean, you understand. And she has been running Portugal, the service there for 27 years. She has been in Lisbon. They have a beautiful retreat place there also now. It's a very nice place to be. This panel will be on inner silence and accurate remembrance. And for it, we will have some small exercise from time to time on silence. So hope you join us. And I know the translators, sometimes they speak too fast, so you just tell me. And also when we have red light, then we'll be all in silence. And the idea is to assimilate whatever is being spoken at that moment. And I would like to start with definitions. So let's define inner silence. What does that mean? We know external silence, but what does it mean to have silence inside ourselves, Sister Hemlata?
Om Shanti. Inner silence is a state of mind or awareness in which our thoughts, our feelings, our attitude and our vision is engaged in one positive state or another positive state. We are always engaged in something because mind always needs a variety. So different thoughts, different feelings, and thoughts, feeling, attitude and vision will be together, focus on one awareness.
Before asking Dorothy to respond also the definition, Sister Hemlata was talking about one murli. She was very appreciating very much one specific murli. So I would like you just to tell the date or the year of that murli.
Murli is of 87, Avet Babdada's Murli, and the topic is silence, and everything about silence written in it.
Thank you. Dorothy, what's your definition?
Om Shanti. I agree with Sister Hemlata completely, and I also think that silence is always with us. And it's just about emerging that vibration or that feeling of silence. And so even the word Shanti means peace, but it also means silence. And so you're all sitting there and you look pretty peaceful, are you? Yes? Shake your heads. Yes, I'm peaceful. So you can be peaceful and be listening, or you can be peaceful and talking, and we can also be silent and listening and silent. Should I move this over like this? Is that better? The volume's very high on this mic. Okay. So I'd like to do a little experiment with you. Showing you how this thought of silence is always with us. So you have a tongue in your mouth. So I want you to focus on the tongue in your mouth. And focus on the way the tongue touches the front bottom teeth in your mouth. And you can feel where one tooth begins, one ends. You can feel the grooves. Can you? Are you following? And so the tongue and the teeth have always been there, but we've never focused on it. Well, I feel that silence is a vibration that lives within us, that is always there. And we can speak from that silence, that stillness, that still point. We can listen from that place, and we can do all activities from that place of calm, peace, and stillness. And so it's a part of us. It's a vibration that we are continually vibrating when we're thinking about it, when we're focused on it.
So thank you. So hope you enjoyed the exercise, and that's interesting. Mara, what can you say about that?
First of all, thanks Marcelo and all of you for being here. It's really an opportunity with these two big souls, elevated souls. So when I heard about this theme, something came into my thoughts. Definitely whatever they say is correct, and it's what I feel. But I felt, if you want to be emotionally silent, if you want your thoughts to be silent, if you want to really enjoy this silent being, you must take care of your karma. This was the thought that came to me. Because if we get entangled here, there, everywhere, you can never have this silence inside yourself. So we must again and again ask ourselves, whatever I'm doing, am I doing the best way or could I do it differently? Because if I want to feel silent, this is my choice. But then I have to go in the right directions, with actions and thoughts and feelings that are filled with dharma, which are filled with wisdom, which are filled with many, aligned with the feelings of God, with Baba.
Oh, that's interesting. I would like to know, Mara, for instance, how can you really keep silent when something is wrong, is happening around you? Sometimes Baba used the expression of the omens, no? So if you have so many problems in your life, you lost your job, you lost your mother, you don't have a house to live, you cannot go to Murli. So how can you keep that silence? Let's have the experience first, and then Mara can talk on that.
Through Marcelo, sometimes, all of you know, there are so many things going on all the time in our lives, no? We have to be practical about it. But how do I deal with that? I am a person that I prefer to think a lot before doing anything. Even if I need to take days, I will do that, just to make sure I am going in the right direction. Because I don't want to lose my inner peace and my inner happiness. So then, think a lot before you do anything. Because otherwise, you have two works, two jobs, no? You have a situation, and all of us does, many things going on all the time, challenges, and then you act in a way that is not the right way, at least according to dharma or according to the best you could do. And then you have extra work, and you lose your inner silence, you lose your happiness. So I would end with one thing that I've learned with life, that is, when there is a storm outside, where would you go outside, just like that? No. When it storms outside, you go inside and you wait till it goes away. So this would be my way of dealing with this.
That's a good advice. So if there is a storm outside, so you stay inside and you wait a little bit. What about you, Sister Hemlata? If things are very negative outside, if really, and they are negative, I mean, you cannot deny there is something bad happening there. So what do you do to keep that inner calmness, inner silence?
I always remember the slogan, always victorious. In the worldly way, when we are in the world, either we win or we defeat. But in Baba's knowledge, we always be victorious. Sometimes we are victorious physically. We achieve a lot of different visible attainment. And sometimes we do not achieve physical achievement, but we achieve some spiritual achievement. We become courageous, we become fearless, and we become more loving, more merciful. So I always feel that no matter what situation and circumstances are, once you feel that you are victorious, no matter what challenges are, you can make it. And Brahmin life means never failure, always victory, inner or external.
Thank you. And Dorothy Ben, one of the work she does there in Peace Village is take care of transportation, which is a very easy one. You know that, right? So all the Brahmins, they always go in different times, in different ways. How do you keep that silence internally when you have to make so many decisions and people are making pressure on you, they are trying to make you do other things, etc.? What do you do?
I let Brother Vijay handle it. You have to remain as the detached observer. And Bapdada has said to practice the stage of going beyond, going to the incorporeal world and then coming into action, going into your angelic stage, then coming into action, just for a few seconds, a few moments during the day. But the more we practice this drill, I feel the more we can naturally be the detached observer in all these situations because we've practiced it. But it has to be a practice over a long period of time.
And before asking another thing, I would like to just tell you that we will give you also the words. So if you have some questions, you'll be able to ask later. Okay? So think about them, okay, and please write them. It's easier for us and also for the translators. Okay? So, Dorothy, can you give a practical story, something that really happened, and you were able to use that tool or stage of being a detached observer?
Yes. Something very awful happened just recently, within the last 2 months, month and a half. We were in a USA teachers meeting. There were 60 teachers there from all over the United States. And in the meeting, one of the seniors was hammering me. You understand this hammering? Baba says, you hammer the idols, right, to get them all in shape. And so it was actually in the whole group that I was being hammered. So it was kind of embarrassing, or it could be very embarrassing. But I just sat there and took the hammering as the detached observer. And actually I found it very, very empowering. When we can do that, we take more power, but you have to be the detached observer and just watch and not be emotionally invested. And so that takes practice, again, of practicing the detached observer stage and going beyond, so that when situations do come in front of you, and I can't think of a more extreme situation than one of your seniors hammering on you in front of a whole group of teachers. And others came up to me and they said, "Wow, you really did well." But it was Baba's help, of course.
Well, I hope that was a good story. So, Mara, what's your story in relation to inner peace? Which is that situation where others look at you and said, "No, that's not possible." And you were there, very calm and very easy.
Two things. First, as I was saying at the beginning, I've seen in my life many things getting sorted out just by giving it some time, good thoughts, silence, meditation. At that point, it may feel you are suppressing something. But if you are using the right knowledge, if you are using Dharana, although at that moment things may not be easy, so it will go away very quickly. In 2-3 months or 1 week, or depending on the situation, you are over it. And I've been through it many times, and I've seen it practically. And there's something else, Marcelo. Let me say another one that is a very good one. So last year, when I was in Madhuban, my mother left the body. And then as soon as I left Madhuban, there was no time to go back. I had to go to Brazil because I came into Gyan and I was born physically in Brazil. I was there for helping my dad, you know. But although I'm in Gyan since 85, I'm away since 27 years. Nearly 30 years out of the country, like a foreigner. And I had so many things to do, and I had to find someone to take care of my dad. And then I was, at that moment, you know, I said, there is only one thing I can do. So I entered in this silence inside, and then I talked to Baba, and I said, "Look, Baba, I am with you for so many years. I am needed for service wherever I am. And I need to find out a solution for this situation. I need your help." And I kept silence. And then I went to my dad and I asked, "Dad, you know, now, start calling your friends, because we need to find someone. Because I don't know anyone. I know very few people in Brazil these days." And it was so sweet, because I didn't need to finish the sentence. The phone call. And it was a friend of mine since childhood, and she said, "Look, I was here, and I was remember you and your dad. You must be alone, and I want to help you." I said, "Baba, what a beautiful experience." So this was the proof that works.
That's great. Very inspiring. Let's go into silence again. I have known Sister Hemlata for so many years. In fact, I think she was the first senior that offered herself to go to Colombia. Colombia was a country with many karmic accounts being settled, which was not a safe place. And mostly we had to beg to someone to come. And I remember she just came and, "Do you want me to go there?" And I was very, very much surprised. So, Sister Hemlata, I would like to hear also one story from your side.
In the inner silence, I remember the book title, Inside Out. I'm sure that all of you are familiar with the book. And that word, Inside Out, is great meaning for me. Because it is a soul which acts through the body, not the body acts through the soul. And once we focus ourselves to the soul and the quality of the soul, and we just start spreading those vibrations, we become silent. That becomes silent in action also. It's not necessary that you have to sit down and you have to experience silence. Many times we go to meet people. And we in Caribbean have, because of the small countries, we had a lot of opportunity to meet with the heads of the states, country, like Prime Minister or President or anybody who come from India. Through the Indian High Commission, many times we may not be able to meet here, but we be able to meet there in the Caribbean with these small countries. And sometimes, even as a Brahmin, we get so impressed and influenced, and we feel so overwhelmed that, oh, I'm going to meet with so-and-so, and I'm going to meet this VIP or that VIP. But in front of us, in front of Baba's children, they are not VIPs, they are very innocent people. They want to experience peace through our touch, through our meeting with them. And when we have this consciousness of being inside out, although you may be seeing so many people going and meeting, but when you go and meet with a person, you spread the vibration of peace or vibration of happiness or whatever they need that will go to them. Sometime even in the classes when the student come and it's a new center and the student come, somebody like engineer come and we say, oh, we have engineer in our class. When we build a house, the person will going to help us, or if this is a person who is rich person, will going to help in this way. Or that way we create a lot of things before we serve them. And I think that if we have that inner silent, one, we had to give whatever we had to give. And whatever they had to do in the future, they will do. There's nobody who can impress anybody except God. I always feel that Baba is the one who earn and we are the one who spend. So I feel so nice about it. Since we do service, when we service, do expenditure is there. But who is earning? I'm not impressing anybody, not because of me, so-and-so person have done something or other. Our duty is just to give peace, experience of peace and happiness, no matter how high person is, whether the Prime Minister or President or any impressive person is there. And this realization came in my mind once. There was an editor of the newspaper who came to the class and he was taking the class, and there was a natural thing at those days, I was not so mature enough. So I say, oh, editor of the newspaper is coming, so what will going to happen? He will advertise our programs and he advertised this and advertised this. And that was a thought in my mind, and he came one day. He said, "My sister, you may be thinking that I have come to help you to advertise this or advertise that. No, I have not come for that. I have the problem and I want to experience peace here." And all of a sudden the thought changed in my mind. And I say, oh yes, this is a good realization, you know. So I started giving class, or whatever needed, and had the aim of giving this peace, feeling that peace and love. And then after 2 or 3 months, he says, sister, I'm ready to do something for this organization. So I think we need to keep our balance from the beginning, not impressed by the service, and take the sustenance from the service, but we had to sustain the service in our centers.
Thank you. I think many of you have your own stories in terms of how silence has helped you, how silence has really empowered you or give you that comfort or courage you need at that moment. But Sister Hemlata, what's the link really between silence and remembrance? You know, Dorothy was mentioning about shanti, you know, about the meaning of the word shanti. But how do you see that link, and specifically in terms of accurate remembrance?
Shanti is, of course, a beautiful word. It cannot be translated fully in the form of silence. It's silence, it's tranquil, at peace, so many different things, and is filled with love, filled with a lot of feelings. But what I can say is, when in our Baba's knowledge we use a tool of the soul consciousness, Baba's consciousness, and we pay a lot of attention to the vibration. So when we focus our mind in our original stage, then the silence or the peace start creeping inside, and we start stabilizing ourselves. There may be a car which just have the brake, very big noise around the thing. So we start feeling that noises around is there, it's not a stop, but it is not, we are not feeling, we are not getting affected by the noise around or any child crying or anything, because we are going in and in. So of course it is start with a concentration, awareness, but after that we go in the silence, and silence, tranquil, stabilizing ourselves, nothing is affecting, but the vibrations are coming from inside out. And there's no need even to say this. Although you may sit down in one stage, but everybody come and give the different experience. Oh, I feel very peaceful. Somebody will say, I feel very happy. Somebody will say, I feel very loving. Somebody, I feel that I forgive today. Everybody, I finish my account with everybody. So although we're sitting in one way, but different people according to their needs, they get the different experience. So we start with awareness and our basic ideas, but we go in the depth and depth and depth.
So we can do it now. Lata was given the process for that. And before Dorothy and Mara, I will ask you one question. Those who have questions, you can give the slip of paper to Nelly. Nelly, a sister from Peru, she's also part of the organizing team. So please, you can pass to her, and then we start to go through them. For you two, what's the difference between then accurate remembrance and inaccurate remembrance? Because if you say there is an accurate remembrance, that means sometimes our remembrance is not that precise. So I don't know if you can explain or just give an example, okay, on that topic, you both.
Do you want us to talk together?
Mm-hmm.
accurate remembrance is when you're really remembering Baba from the heart, with lots of feelings of love. So we can remember Baba just kind of intellectually. Oh, Baba's up there, he's a point of light. But when I put in the element of feelings and love, the feelings, bhavna, into my remembrance, then it makes my remembrance more impactful, more profound, and Baba can feel it more, because I'm vibrating not only the thought, but I'm vibrating the feelings to Baba as well. And so for me, that's what accurate remembrance is. But we also need to be soul conscious before we do that and be in our cleanest, purest state of being so that we can come as close to Baba with those feelings. Om Shanti.
I think there is not a pattern for remembrance. Each one of us have to find his or her own way of getting through. But if you inside yourself, if you are clean, if there is honesty, if your thoughts are full of generosity, if you are aligned with the thoughts Baba have, then this remembrance will be very easy and very truthful and very trustful, and you may be sure, you can be sure, Baba is there for you. If there is any mixture in your feelings, you want Baba to sort out something for you, or you want this or that to happen, but this is not a nice thought, or it is not good for everyone, there is some mixture in it, then you will not really have a nice experience. So we have to be so clean inside, so pure inside, and then we can get whatever we want. The impossible can become possible through this easy remembrance.
That's good, very valuable. No, so do we have any question from you? Do you want to add anything else from here before the questions? So, before asking the questions, I just want you to pair with someone, just one person beside you. 3 minutes, just talk about inner silence and accurate remembrance. What did you hear from them? What did you assimilate from them? What do you think differently? Or you can complement them also in that knowledge. Just 2 or 3 minutes, then probably some questions will emerge on that. Please, just pair with someone. Introduce yourself with a big smile, just a dristy, and then you can talk. Just 2 or 3 minutes. One minute more. Okay, Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om. So if you have any question, please give to Nelly and Nelly will give to us. That's important, so that enriches everyone. If you don't have a question, you can make a question that you know the answer. So it's good for others also to think about it. So the first question is, it's not directly related to the topic, but it has some connection. Many times we hear the term a long period of time, so that we have to practice something for a long period of time. So the question is, how much is that long period of time? How long is it? And what's the meaning of long period? So Sister Hemlata, we're going to answer, and maybe they will add some.
Om Shanti. Long period of time depends on everyone's coming in Baba's knowledge. For example, we are 80 years in this, our history is 80 years. For those who are 80 years, their long period is 80 years. If we come in Baba's knowledge and destruction comes after 5 minutes, 5 minutes is a long period of, but what is important is long period of practice is the time you take this Baba's knowledge to the end. How much break, how much make you have. If you just smoothly moving forward and every day your stage is getting better and better, then it is a long period of time. But if you come in Baba's knowledge 20 years ago and then you stop, you fell in, gone for holidays, you come back. So many different things happen, up and down happen. Then your long period will start when you stabilize yourself. Although you may be in the knowledge 20 years, but you may, your count of long period of time may be 1 year. But Baba always says, don't wait for the end. You know, sometimes we say, oh, in the end I will going to make up. But you practice. Because whatever you will be practicing, whatever is registered in your subconscious mind, will going to emerge in the end. In whatever way, consciously or unconsciously, it will emerge. And you can, inside sometime, observe a lot of elderly people in the end, what emerge in their words, in their mind, in their activities. All that depend on what is in subconscious. So whatever you practice, that become your subconscious. And in the end, that is what going to emerge. So that will be the result of long period of time for you. Om Shanti.
Thank you. Hope the person is satisfied. Do you want to add anything, or let's go for the second question? So the second question is, now one of you, what's your method? Maybe the three of you, what's your method when there are too many thoughts, stress, lot of responsibilities that clash with each other? So what's your method? Mara has lots of experience on that, and Dorothy too, Hemlata Ben also.
The word that comes into my thoughts is balance. We must keep balance. That is something that we don't do sometimes. So if we are getting stressed, and sometimes we do, if things are not going the right way, they should go, we should stop everything. Stop for a moment and think. Think. What are you doing with your life? Sometimes we should question ourselves. If this was my last day, would I be happy with me? Would I be happy with the things I'm doing? Or the way I'm dealing with my relationships? The way I'm dealing with my health or with whatever? So we should come back again and again and find this balance. This is something I'm trying to do, you know, again and again. So, oh, Shanti.
I think we have to remind ourselves to, instead of allowing the cycle to spin us in the drama, to step out of the drama and spin the cycle. So you can't do both at the same time. If you're spinning the cycle and watching it as a drama, then you're naturally detached. But if you lose your detachment and you're in the drama and you just let the thing spin and your head is spinning, your emotions are spinning, you just have to step out and watch yourself, watch your feelings, and get yourself back on the right track. You know, when you're in the car, it used to be in the car, you used to listen to music, you'd push the button if you didn't like a song, right? Put another song on, another song. And so when these things are happening, we have to jump tracks, change tracks, go from that turmoil track into my track of just feeling grand.
Good method. Do you want to add anything, Sister Hemlata?
Just I start talking to my own self when the things happening around. Lot of stressful, calm down, calm down. You know, it means in the mind you do something, in the physical way also you do something. Calm down, this is not the time to. Whose service you are doing? It's not your service, it's Baba's service. And Baba knows the best. And let it happen, whatever had to happen. So, we just console ourselves, we calm our down. We, as Mara said, that you can stop everything. Just stop.
Well, we have time to practice that today. No, we have all these hours, and tomorrow we have a day of silence, not only inner silence, that is also outer silence, if it's possible. So we can get everything they are saying and practice and see what's good, what's not. And something doesn't work, you can go to them. And you go talk to them, and you go to Baba too. This other question is, while being in inner silence, what's actually in your mind and intellect? No thoughts? If there is a thought, what is that thought? No, during the inner silence, what kind of thought is there? So anyone wants to take this?
I think the thoughts can vary depending on the time and space and your mood, but usually your thoughts are very slow, and it could be with just being soul conscious, being with Baba, just with even your feelings, just going deep within your introverted stage, seeing yourself, as Hemlata was saying, being with your own thinking, your own thoughts, and condensing your thoughts. So not going to the expansion, but bringing them to the essence, and just being in that place of peace and silence that feels good. Because when you're in that place that feels so good, I feel that it makes it very easy for Baba to come in, for you to invoke Baba to come into that place of feeling really good. So for me, my yoga is always based on my feelings and moving myself into that feeling stage of just feeling so much peace, so much stillness, and then bringing Baba in that place to even enrich that place even more.
great. Let's experiment there. That was a very good explanation, and also the experience was good. I don't know if Mara or Ben or Sister Hemlat want to add anything.
I think she said it so beautifully. I was drinking her words. So definitely, when our thoughts, they calm down, when you are really into this experience of spirituality inside with your thoughts, so spiritual, they will give away to an experience. So then the thoughts, they become very slow, and then you will feel it, which is really the stage we all love it.
Of course, in meditation or yoga, the two things which is very active in us, one is mind, and the second is intellect. Mind is the one which creates thoughts, and mind is also related to the feelings, which we call sometimes heart. So as we have the thoughts in mind, the intellect works and it visualizes the thoughts. Means it creates a scene. Intellect is the one which creates a scene in front of us. For example, if we have the thought of aeroplane, then intellect creates a whole scenario of the where it is, how it lands, how it goes. And it is between the two of us, we're shifting to one to the next. As Sister said, the thoughts start getting less and less, and we started enjoying those thoughts, which is translated into the feelings. And some point we feel that there is no thoughts, only energy is coming out from inside. And of course, with this, all this expansion take place in our intellect. You know, it become bigger and bigger. Our sphere of spread and visualization become bigger and bigger and become unlimited. And at that moment, it confirms in us. It makes us me feel, yeah, this is it. This is right. So it confirms. Intellect confirms. Yes, whatever we are thinking, whatever we are feeling, whatever expansion is taking place in our mind, our intellect, from the one end to the whole universe, all that is confirmation of the experience.
That's great. Before the last question, we'll have a meditation after that will be conducted by them. So they will give, it will be few minutes, so they will try to take all of us into a very deep experience. So you know what will happen. So your body has to be okay so you can take maximum benefit of that. Okay? So if you're feeling a little tired, or you can sit a little straight, so we can have that experience. This last question is not a question, it's a true or false. Only in total silence may we have a two-way communication directly with Baba. True, false, why, how? Only total silence may we have a two-way communication directly with Baba.
If we mean that total silence means that this is your inner self is clean, clean thoughts, clean feelings, then it is completely true. Because you can only reach God if you are aligned with Him. So if there is nothing on the way, then it's possible to reach Him easily.
I was thinking that in total silence, total, absolute silence is only in the soul world. And so we don't even know Baba there. We're with Him, but we're not conscious that we are with Him. So I like to use the term of more than silence, but soul consciousness that brings us to Baba, because He's always soul conscious. He never has a body of His own. And so the answer for me would be soul consciousness versus that absolute total silence.
I feel in the beginning when we start our meditation, we have two-way communication. But at some point, we surrender to Baba and we allow His energy to flow through us. So it becomes one way. No?
So it's true and false. Okay. Let's do something. Let's stand up a little bit and let's move just a little bit. You know, move the body, the legs, arms. You can turn to the person behind you just to say hello. You just, yeah, that's good. Breathe. And let's have a very, very powerful experience. It won't be 2 hours. It'll be just a few minutes. And then after that, we go to wherever we have to go, especially lunch. But just to remind you all that we have an interesting program this evening, so please don't miss it. So let's sit down and let's go and dive into that experience. So during the experience, traffic control will be played at 12 also. So just be light. I'll ask the translators to stay there if you can be replaced by someone or just enjoy the experience. Om Shanti. So let's have some. You choose the who you start. Let's have some red light and some soft music. You can do it.
Move your thoughts into your heart center. And just feel good. And the luxury being. In that place of peace, stillness, and radiating that feeling to our Baba. Inviting Him into the heart. Into your pure, clean heart. Thank you.
I consciously let go of all the negative thoughts and feelings that do not allow my heart to be light, to be happy and aligned with the heart of God. This is my life, and I have the choice. I can be whatever I want, in which way I want. I choose to experiment all the time this inner peace, inner silence, because this is the gift Baba has brought to me.
From my inner stillness, my still, still point of being just me, soul, I expand that stillness into an orb of stillness around me, a globe of stillness, so pure, nothing but stillness, and Baba. Filled with contentment, tranquility, and I find myself like a small kitten purring that contentment. surrender yourself to Baba and allow His energy to flow through your being.
Sisters, for their time, for their energy, and I think it was a wonderful experience, right?